ఈశ్వరః గురుస్సాక్షాత్ పరబ్రహ్మ తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. ఓం సహనా భవతు, సహనో భునక్తు, సహ వీర్యం కరవావహై, తేజస్వినావధీతమస్తు మా విద్విషామహై. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి.
What you're saying about doing what you don't like to do, how does that fit in with Dharma, with the idea of doing your own duty or activity?
Duty. Thank you. Doing your own duty. And doing my duty is often unpalatable. That's it.
Well, you talk last year when you were here about Dharma as having a different meaning.
Yeah.
And that it's rather what comes natural, like the eye.
Exactly.
Do the Dharma would be seeing.
Right.
And to do that would...
That is the first category. That is spontaneous activity. That
so
is non-volitional activity.
Have to be farther along then.
Much farther along. As a matter of fact, I'm here again, it's terribly unorthodox. I have a repugnance for the word duty. When somebody says you have to do a duty, that means I'm living in a state of tension and conflict all the time. I don't want to do it. Otherwise I don't have to be told you must do this. Even in relation, in my own little relation with my intimate friends, when I have to tell her you must do this, I feel like choking myself, hanging myself. When I say that I am already suggesting something to her which she obviously does not want to do, forcing her to do that is, I don't know, it not only doesn't seem to be, it not only seems to be unnatural, but cruel and waste of time. You make someone do something. Right? He does it. Oh, look what I have done. What have you done? You have done nothing. Immediately you turn your... you leave that place, he is going to do what he wanted to do. And I insist again, I'm totally unorthodox here, because I don't think anybody would accept this. I insist again, that concept of dharma, not the other one, the spontaneous activity which is natural, the eye's dharma is to see, the dharma of the ear is to hear, that's different. The dharma is a duty, thou shalt not. This was, I'm sure, was invented primarily for the sake of society, to safeguard the society as a whole. As a whole means, again, you see how many problems arise? Society as a whole means the people who wield or who hold power at that time. Isn't it? Society as a whole to you means only that. Society as a whole to us now means our interests. And the moment you say our interest, it is versus your interests, their interests. Mm-hmm. And another difficult problem that was created by the concept of dharma as duty, thou shalt not, is when you impose your will upon the other, you create a rebellion immediately. Rebellion. So, and thereby arose one of the principles of democracy. I heard the Governor General of Mauritius say this long ago, when he had his swearing in ceremony. He said, the first principle of democracy is that you allow those who hold different views to express those views and gain the support of the majority. So that the minority must have the freedom to become the majority one of these days. Therefore, I am telling him, thou shalt. You have a classical example in the birth of the Anglican church. The Pope says, thou shalt not. And this man, this king says, no, I will. There is a struggle for power. There is a revolt. He doesn't want to. He doesn't want to do it. There is a revolt. So on the one hand, there is coercion. On the other hand, there is revolt. Wherever there is coercion, there will be revolt. And in the whole thing, what the framers of the Dharma also probably intended, I am being rather circuitous, what the framers of Dharma probably intended, that somehow or other, by squeezing yourself into this pattern, you will discover what it was in you that rebels against this Dharma. If I did that, I'm all right. You tell me that, Swami, it is your Dharma as a sannyasi, you should not do this. Instead of reacting, instead of rebelling, I see, that's very good. And yet, I want to smoke, I want to drink. No, it's my dharma not to. It is my dharma not to. Then I am looking within to see what it is that demands, where does desire arise. That's very good. This is perhaps what they hoped for. The framers of the concept of Dharma had hoped for social welfare on the one hand, and welfare of the society on the one hand, and on the other, a kind of help at self-examination.
If you accept the authority.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole trouble. If I accept this authority, and therefore, when it is done by a guru or one whom you respect, it has some validity. Probably society functioned in that manner in those days. You know, the children loved the parent, not only respected and obeyed, and so on. We have no idea how it worked, but it's obvious that it doesn't work now. There are stories both in the Bhagavatam and also in the Ramayana where someone gets up and says, "This is your dharma." And the other person quietly, meekly obeys and goes away. Not always. Somebody else says, no, I won't do it. It's a very, very tricky job. But the spirit seems to be that. And therefore, again, in the Gita, there is another statement. Swadharme nidharam shreya paradharmo bhayavaha. It is better for one to die for one's own dharma rather than adopt someone else's dharma. Swadharme nidhanam shreya paradharmo bhayavaha. And also there is another statement, do your own duty even if it is defective rather than switching to somebody else's duty, even though you can do it efficiently. What is it that that wishes to switch? Let's say, according to their theory, it refers to the caste system and that sort of thing, yes? That if you are a Brahmin, be a Brahmin, don't become a businessman. If you are a Shudra, the servant, if you belong to the servant community, be a servant and don't try to be a soldier, right? That's the official interpretation. I don't know if this is applicable now. Now, the spirit here, again, is I am a Brahmin. What is it that makes me switch and become either a trader or a warrior or a politician? Some kind of a desire. Because I have been raised as a Brahmin. It's all right for me. I can read the scriptures, I can interpret them, I can recite them, I can do the religious ceremonies. These come naturally to me. Because I have been brought up in that tradition, trained, raised in the tradition. What is it? Why is it now I want to give that up and become a government minister, a politician, or a trader? I am not satisfied with this. I am craving for something else. And if you come around and tell me at that time, if I respect you and honor you, if you come around and say, no, stick to your dharma, don't switch, I respect you, I bow down to you, and then I am not suppressing anything. I still see this urge in me, and I am watching to see, oh my God, and he is right. I was born a Brahmin, I was raised as a Brahmin. Why do I want to become a trader now? When I turn the searchlight of inquiry within myself, I can see where desire arises, where cravings arise, where self is.
So dissatisfaction is never a valid point on which to make a change.
Oh, no, no. I have a rather lovely little cliche. Always is always wrong, never is never right.
I think I'm looking for rules.
Right. This is how all these systems came into being. But you can also see that these systems go haywire at the touch of a powerful man. The same thing. When the Brahmins became traders and farmers, big farmers, estate owners, they couldn't be restrained at all. Because they were the lawmakers. When the lawmakers break the law, they know how to break the law. Mm-hmm. Who is there to restrain them? We knew, of course. Then we brought in the law of karma, the theory of karma, etc., etc. You did something horrible in your previous life and therefore you are poor, and we were rajas and so on, so on, so we did lots of charity, and as a result of that I have been, though I don't want, have you heard this? Mm-hmm. Though I don't want all this wealth at all, it seeks me, it comes to me. And then I have another lovely theory. I am the author of all these theories, isn't it? I am the one who gives you these theories. I give you the theory that I don't want any of these, but the Lord, in He has placed me as a trustee of all this. It's all there. I'm not inventing anything. It's all there in the scriptures. Treat all that, your children and your family and your property and your wealth as blessings bestowed upon you and to be held in trust by you. Very good. You see how easy it is to bluff. And if I am in authority, in a position of authority, in a position of power, in a position of advantage, Who is going to teach me what dharma is?
So in that sense, dharma is like a restraint.
Dharma is a restraint. Dharma is a forced, violent restraint. In that sense. If it is, if the spirit is recaptured, why am I made to do my dharma? On the one hand, that is, dharma is a principle which upholds society. That's what the word means. Dharma, to hold. It is a principle which holds society together and holds it from falling. The two, it can have two connotations. One, it holds all of us up so that we don't fall in your so-called evolution. And it holds us all together. If I do my duty, it is your privilege. And if you do your duty, I am satisfied. So, by mutually fulfilling one another's duty, we are mutually promoting one another's welfare. That's a beautiful idea. Lovely idea. And naturally there is an element of craving in the heart of every man, dissatisfaction in the heart of every man. We are coming to the other one now. There is a natural dissatisfaction in the heart of every man. And when that dissatisfaction arises, and I feel like dropping my duty, abandoning my duty, I must turn within, to see where the dissatisfaction arises. And by hanging on to this dissatisfaction, I can discover the self. I can discover the root of craving. And when the root of craving is uncovered, I see the self. That was probably the spirit in which the concept of dharma was first given.
I just like the story of Buddha walking out on his wife and 3-year-old child. I mean, it seems like...
Abandoning something. Abandoning
yeah, it dharma. Seems like he had a duty. And it seems like...
Right? Correct?
Now, dharma.
For instance, and when there is a conflict of duty, what do you do? There is a real word for it, a word for it in Sanskrit. Dharma sankata. Dharma sankata is conflicting duties. For instance, someone asked me in Durban, an Indian lady, we all wish to become vegetarians. I don't want to, you know, go on with this meat eating business. But I don't want to kill, I don't want to even cut a fish or chicken. Right. But my husband loves all this. On the other hand, my personal dharma is not to touch flesh at all. And my personal dharma as a wife is to serve the husband. Now what do? This is a minor situation. There are major situations of a similar type.
She must choose anyone.
So these are called dharma sankata. That is, conflict created by two or more aspects of your dharma. Converging upon you at the same time.